We have decided to pray for 40 days, fast and pray for 40 days, for a release, a new release of the Spirit of God and the blessings upon this land. And I believe there shall be a release. I believe there will be a lot of release that God is going to provide this time. There will be even government changes this time. You will see God is going to expose people after the 16th of September. God is going to expose people who have been corrupt in this nation. I'm prophesying this today. God will surely expose those who are corrupt in this nation. Even the present and the past. God will do an exposure in this nation. The righteous people will rise up. So sometimes we think we are righteous people. Hello, let's look at our background. Let's look at our tongue. Let's look at our mind, whether we are still standing righteous before God. Right? So we as Christians, we don't say call yourself righteous. Let's look at our background, our lifestyle now. That's important. So we as a righteous person means that. So I believe that it's going to be something. Something is going to happen in the state of America in the month of October, November, in the December month. Something is going to shake around the lands. You'll find something, calamity coming into the land of even China. I'm speaking to the China, northern part of China and the central part of China. I see red lights coming down to that land of China. And you see a division in the land and see new things that will come up. A new sickness that will come up in the land of even China. This is not for us to glorify that God is showing this church. I told you, God rebuked me personally as a prophet. He said, James, I'm giving you this so that you can pray. It's the responsibility of these church members to pray with me for these prophecies I give today. You are not here to come and sit down and warm the chairs. We are here to come and participate in the kingdom of God. We are called people. We are set apart. So we must behave like set apart people. As a prophet, if I'm hitting somebody, I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that. Because if your heart is hit somewhere, it is your job. God is speaking to you. He speaks to me directly. He rebukes me directly. He rebukes me through somebody else too. So you'll find even Italy will have a shake this time again. Before the end of the year, you'll see Japan will be shaken again, second time. So the people of Japan has to be repentant and come back to the Lord and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There'll be something happening in the year. Last day was I was praying and our Lord showed me something within 3 years will happen in North Korea. And I will shake, he says. As I've shaken Poland, I will shake North Korea. Amen. There'll be shaking in the leadership. God will touch leaderships. God is going to touch leaderships, not in the leaderships of the world, but also in the churches. Leaders in the church which are not righteous, God will shake. The foundation has to be right. God will shake the churches all over the world because he wants to purify his body. Purify his body which is given to us. The body of Christ is church. Families gather together. We have to be righteous. Many of us have the idolatry items. Idolatry in our mind. We are Christians, we have idolatry. I tell many times, do not idolize a man or a woman. Don't come here because I'm a prophet and God comes to idolize. Oh, this person only one must pray. If you are thinking that, you're idolizing. God hates that. That's number one commandment of God. Idolism is not right. Yesterday I was in a meeting. And I went and prayed. I was asked pray. I went to be prayed for by a prophetess who came from all the way from America. Cindy Jacobs was here. And because I've canceled my South Africa trip, so I can be going there and sitting down for 3 days. And I was sitting down and she called all the senior pastors to come and I fainted. She just came down. She saw so many things to everybody else. But she came to me. She held my hand. She said this to me. My friend, you will plant many churches. I said, Lord, you're already planting one church itself here. It's a big problem. You know, one is going to the north, another one going to the south, another fellow going to the east, and another one going from the south, they're shouting arrow to the east one is shouting arrow to the north one, and north one is shouting arrow to the south one. I don't know which one to handle now. One church itself is like this already. What am I going to handle with more? I said, Lord, please. And I asked her, why did you call me a friend? Then the Lord spoke to me last night. I was a bit disturbed. I told Brian yesterday. Why did she call me man of God, everybody man of God, and she called me a friend? The Lord told me, don't be so upset. She recognized the anointing on your head. That is why she called you a friend. Amen? Praise the Lord. So God is doing something in our land and also the land of things. And South Africa will see a revival this time. I'm telling you again, South Africa will see a revival this time. A great revival will put the people of the Eastern world and Northern world, or even the Western world, to shame. Revival will take place in Peru. This time, something is going to happen in Peru. Brazil. The nations around South America will be a blaze of the fire of the Lord moving mightily. Amen. So I pray that you will stay with us and pray together. As the Lord is shaking the land, when he shakes the land, he's activating many volcanoes in the world. As the volcanoes underground are activated because there is injustice in the land. People are stealing from the land for their own self. Minerals, resources, which is given to the people of the land, is being stolen away. God is angry with people. So God is going to shake. And you'll find people will have to come back to the Lord. People have to call to the Lord. Only call to Him. His name, Yahweh. Yeshua HaMashiach. Surely, Jesus Christ will help us. And no one else can calm down any waves. There is no man in the world as record has come the waves of the sea, except for Jesus Christ. Amen. Say amen to that. Say amen. I said, I told you, every time there's a word given, say amen. That word comes to you. That's a blessing and releasing of the people of this time. The people of God have been righteous and walking right. God will release the sevenfold blessings upon them. Amen. Those who are righteous and walk righteously and love as what the God says in speaking to the churches and to the people, according to the word of God, according to the word of God, according to the word of God and the spirit of God, there shall be sevenfold blessings to the people of God. And no man shall touch the people of God. No man, no governmental organization will touch them if you walk righteously. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for the Spirit of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Satan is trying to destroy families. That's what the Lord showed me this year in the beginning of the year. He wants to destroy families. Do not succumb to that, please. Christians, do not succumb to that. Christians, do not abort. You've got a problem, you've got a child, you know somebody who's a Christian who has got a child in a womb who's not married, please come and see me. Don't abort the child. I will take the child. Please come and see me. If you find somebody, don't abort as a Christian. God is very angry for abortions. Really angry for abortions. Philippines is passing a rule in the Congress that there should be family planning restricted using all those devices of the world. And the people of God last night SMS me and told me, pray with us, Pastor, that the Philippines is going to pass a regulation that families should have control their birth. Who can control reproduction of the land of people of God? Hello? Who has the right to control reproduction? No man. Only God. Only God. So we pray. The land will not be cursed. The people of government will not be cursed. The last time I prophesy, I remember, there was a fire in Australia. The fire, bushfire, was moving out much in Melbourne and down south. Why? Because the iniquity of the land of the government, because the government was passing a rule, was intending to pass a rule and debate the rule in the Congress, in the parliament, in Australia, because they were saying abortion was legalized. That's against God's law. And the moment they have said, we sent down. We don't want to pass this. There was a rejection. And the fire stopped. You don't need firemen to stop the fire. God stopped the fire. I want to tell you this today, brothers and sisters. We are a small church. Don't undermine this church. I might not be in the church. I might sleep somewhere in the church outside. But I know what's happening here. In the spirit. If my God can teach me without going to the schools or Bible schools, surely he can show me what is happening here. And surely he'll show me the hearts of the people. So the last days, don't play with the fire with God. Don't play fire. His fire is greater. His fire is greater. He can come down like Elijah called and burn what needs to be burned. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm calling for this church to be holy, righteous, be loving, be kind. And the precept the Lord gave me last year in our church camp, and this year the church camp is postponed. The precept he gave last year, the four E's, are we practicing it? I pray today, God, God's people, saints of God, let's re-examine our hearts and our mind, including mine. I have to re-examine. God doesn't see man, whether you are great or you are anointed. He sees your heart. It's not the anointing that God sees. God sees the heart. That's why when he said, you knock and knock and knock, and he says, the Lord says, I do not know you. Don't you know that I perform miracles and signs and wonders in your name? I still do not know you. The anointing was there, but the heart was not there for the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said just now, yesterday we went for this thing. And as I went out, the glory of God was not magnified by people, but the woman was magnified by people. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? You did not carry Christ's message in your heart, but you carry a person in your heart. Our God says in his 10th commandment, I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. So just because I'm prophesying unto you or praying for you, please, please do not sin by caring. Unless I go to James. James, there's no such thing as that. I'm telling you that. Discredit that. I'm just a servant. I speak what I see. What God gives me. Treat me the same as others. Do you understand? I don't take sometimes. I'm telling this because I want to see the church differently. I see people give me some blessings. And after that they want to control you. I don't want the blessings. I'd rather not have the blessings. I want to be controlled by only the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. I make decisions in the church. Even now I postponed all the teachings. Why? It's my decisions with the deacons. But please don't question. I have a bigger picture. Some of you attended the meeting yesterday. The one who released me as a prophet was there the other day. His name is Benedict Yeo. He did say that. You might have a small picture and you think that's right. But there's somebody else, God has given a bigger vision. When it comes the time and you fit, it'll fit into you. There are seasons and times. Amen? So let's look at a bigger picture of God's kingdom. Don't look at ourselves and inwardly, how am I going to believe? I just want to thank those of you who prayed for me, who have been praying for me when I was going through difficult times in my body. And God surely heals me, and surely God will heal me. I depend on him, no one else. Amen? Thank you. Father, we just want to thank you for this time, Lord, as the church together prays together with the NECF. Whatever type of fast we take, Lord, Lord, accept it, Lord, that our nation will be blessed. We also pray for all the other nations, Lord. As you've given the vision for this nation, of the nations for many countries, Father, or even people, Father God, or tribes, we pray, Father God, that, Father, hear our prayers from this church. As this church, Lord, diligently fast and pray. Lord, not only for Malaysia, we also pray for many other nations. Whatever you have given today, Father God, visions and all the prophecies, Lord, help us to start praying for all every one of them. Holy Spirit, I pray, convict the heart of every church member here who comes to this church. They will have the burden for the vision that God has given to this church. The burden will burn inside them to pray. And there shall be a people of praying, prayer, and worshiping in this church. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit will pour down on every one of them. And pour down much more. More and more. That they shall be purified. And what needs to be burned will be burned. And what needs to be, Lord, upheld will be upheld, Lord. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So my message will be very short today then. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we talked about the five E's the other time. And we talked about also who are the brothers and sisters, right? Did we know that who are the brothers and sisters? Who's your brother? Who's your sister? There are two types of relations. Number one relation is what? Relationship through your blood. Your parental blood. Second relationship is through the blood of Christ Jesus. Both are blood. So by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have been cleansed, who call him as the Lord Jesus Christ, are also your brothers and sisters. Not only your siblings. Whenever the Bible addresses your brothers, brothers means not only your brother of your own brother or sister, but also addresses to everybody one seated here. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? Are you with me? Yes. Say yes, amen to that. No? Yes, because you know what? You have got a brother by the blood relations of yourself, your father and mother. God has divinely brought them together, not out of wedlock. In wedlock, they brought together and they birthed you out with the blood, with of the parental blood. Amen? That we come as relation of blood. The next blood we have is Jesus Christ's blood, which is the redemptive blood, which is the most expensive blood. That blood has brought us together, all together, as saints of God and household members of God. And household members of God means we are brothers and sisters. Understand the basics first. We have to understand the basics, then we know how to handle our family members. Hello? Would you slap your brother just for no reason? Would you take a knife and kill him? Or her? No, because your brother. So the same way, what you do to your family should also be done in the church. Because every Christian who calls himself a Christian should be like brothers and sisters. Amen? Have you got the foundation right? You've got a foundation right. Okay, fine. I want you to turn to James today. Not because my name is James. Because the book of James is quite interesting. The first time my name was given as James in this church, and I went home and read the book 3 or 4 times. And I didn't understand anything. Okay, now I understand. The Lord shows me. I said, Lord, what is that? I'm reading. I don't know what is James all about. But, you know, I don't get anything. But he gave me a lot of things now. Amen? Praise God. Wonderful. Tell to your neighbor who is seated beside you, you're my brother. If it is your son or daughter, say, you're my son and my daughter, but you're also my brother in Christ. Hello, can you say you're my brother or sister to somebody? Can you say, can you stand up from your seat and go around and just shake hands and say, you are my brother or sister in Christ Jesus? We are one family. Can you go out and say that? Can you get your seat up from there? Only me, I've got a problem, you know, walking, getting up sometimes. You should not have any problems. Go out and say, you are my sister and you are my brother. Okay? You must tell them, you are my sister and my brother. Don't leave anyone. Go to the back. There are people sitting at the back also, you know. They're sitting down quietly doing all those things behind. Go behind. Say hello to them. It's okay. Never mind. Get up. It's okay. 5 minutes exercise. All right. Go up. Go up to those people behind there. I have a reason for you to participate. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Okay, you all done? Okay. Other things that we want to talk, chismis, you know, they call it in Tagalog, you know, chismis means to gossip and all, that one can keep outside of the church. Right. Thank you. Praise God. Do you feel nice? Good? Good at walking, isn't it? You've been sitting down too long. Let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we shall stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Of what out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grape vine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today, there are many weapons in the world. How many of you know weapons? What is weapons? What is weapons meant for? Eh? For war. Weapons are meant for war. Weapons are meant for killing. For war, striking and unrest. War is unrest. Strike unrest. Number one is unrest. Number two, to kill. Right? Excuse me. To kill. War is not only to disturb, bring disunity. Number three, it goes, brings to kill. So number one, it brings confusion. Number two, it brings disunity. Number three, it kills. And number four, you rob what it is from that land. Is that what war is all about? Is that what war is, the missiles or all those missiles are used for? To tell, the fifth one is to tell them, I'm greater than you are. By action, say for example today, I'm not saying it will happen, or Iran comes up with a war, or whatever they say now, war, and some other, another country comes up with a war, America brings up war, and just imagine they come up, and assuming Iran subdues another country with whatever war hits they have, and they'll say, I'm better than you. Is that right? I'm much more greater than you. That is why you'll find countries in the world, always like Russia, India, China, America, always find things to control, right? War. The weapons are actually formed by people to destroy. Is that right? All right. Today, James talks about, not this James, Apostle James talks about something which has been already mentioned earlier in the Bible. He puts it together and he says it today in chapter 3. He says, if man can be changed, can be tamed, right? If you read that, it can tame. But you can see, there's nothing can tame the tongue. It's a small instrument. He says it very nicely in tongue here. Verse 4 is like, a small rudder actually moves the whole ship, everywhere it goes, direction it goes. And then his next verse 5 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Praise the Lord. Friends and sisters, today, a Christian life, just now, I told you just now, one of the things that we have to do in our life is our mouth, our lips, and our tongue is very important. Marriages break because of tongue. Something. There are disputes within 2% because of tongue and the mouth. There are many things that we can see in the world, which is happening now. Somebody says something, Iranian says something, another person says something, and somebody, he comes out another thing, another arrogance comes up. This one, as they debate in tongues, that is, you can see the arrogance of each other. Nations, have you seen that? And as this arrogance grows, actually it does not come from heaven. I'll prove to you that. It does not come from heaven. This does not come from heaven. This fire is not a fire which comes from heaven. This fire which comes from below the earth. That's where Satan stays. Alright? So now what happens is, when there is two persons when they argue because of slip of tongue or tongues. I was sitting one day at the time I was a businessman. I had office, the insurance office was in Samoa House. I had another office the other side. And Samoa House, you know, some of you know Samoa House? All House. All House means behind Globe Superstore in Masjid India, you'll find that All House. I was in the All House. So in that house, in 12th floor and 10th floor, we had, I had my insurance agency there. So I had a friend of mine who came to visit me. He was a lawyer. A prominent, he's an accountant, a lawyer. So he came to me. He's a dreamer, you know. He's a daydreamer. He dreams. He sits down one corner alone, and then he'll just look like that. He had his foot like that, and he was looking up and thinking of something. How to handle that case, next case. Probably he had a vision at the time. He was looking out this side and staring at one corner. Suddenly, the sister Vanisha sitting there looks at the person and says, "Hey, why are you staring at me? Pastor just looking like that, no. Why are you staring at me? Why you want to cause problem? What's your problem now, man?" That's how the problem started. All he did was, he was just sitting down, having a food in the food court downstairs, is a basement, and he started a war there. And he says, "What are you talking about?" He's a lawyer, you know, educated guy. And this guy said, "Why are you looking at me and my girlfriend? You've been staring at me and my girlfriend. What's your problem, man?" And he's being a lawyer. "I did not look at a girlfriend. I don't know who you are. I did not look at you." And he said, he defended himself. And that became a big war. And almost the guys quickly punched each other. And almost punched. And this guy went out and brought out his gang of guys. Called all the guys, came up, you know. And then my friend was alone. And he is not that big, not that small. About the size of Jeshurun. And he saw the whole crowd. He ran up. So the security guard was alerted. And immediately there was war, commotion in the whole entire area. And the whole area was cordoned off. And this guy slid off quickly and came up to relief and came to set my room. And suddenly some guys followed him and came to my office up there. So I have to call the security guards downstairs to come up and handle these guys. See, brothers and sisters, just a look and just some words exchange caused a huge problem in the All House, Sumo House. From the basement up to my insurance office upstairs. So I have to send him off and put him down, go down to the third floor where there's my car parked, ask him to go and get my car and go down and go by my car and go to another building which I have another office, my trading office. So he went to that office and sat down for a long hour until I have to remove his car and go to my place. You see how much of commotion? So much of problem. I have to stop my business. I have to stop my training. I have to stop everything else just because of word. The word. You know, the word would say, "What is your problem? What is your problem? Why are you looking at me? What do you, do I owe you?" Something came out from his mouth that became a bitter one. So wars are meant to disturb, number one. You'll find from this example itself, disputes come, and after that, this brother of mine who cannot come into that area anymore because the gangsters were looking for him. We didn't know that guy had a gangster, whole group of gangsters. And one day the leader came and saw me and spoke to me. Then after that, whole thing quietened down. My brothers, the moral of the story I'm telling you is simple. Number one, the tongue disturbed another person. Hello? How many times in our family, even my own sons, I say things to my son sometimes out of anger because I see him not doing the things again and again and again. I do say something like that. Right? And then he gets aroused about it and then he gets excited about it. He says some word. I told you, it's not easy to raise up three sons, you know. 25, 23 now, and another one is going to be 20 already. So it's not easy, you know. You'll see a war in the house sometimes. War of words, short of punching. Okay? So you'll find people who are mature, as they mature, they have their own mindsets. So what happens is, most of the time, is the tongue. So James now today talks about something that he talks today, says that the tongue which causes to create a fire. A little fire from the tongue can cause the whole forest to be burned. It is the tongue that we have to always mind ourselves in our life. One of the Christian walks in life is to have a tongue which is righteous tongue. A tongue that is good. A tongue that will bring blessings. But you see, the word of God in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, if you turn around and say, see, I have put your word into your mouth. He says, put a lips into word into your mouth. Lips. The word has got to come from the Holy Spirit for your word. Whatever you speak should be from the Holy Spirit. He puts the word into your mouth to bring down, the authority is given, no? To bring down territories, principalities, to bring down any kind of evil things, and to raise up the good. To bless people. To bless people. To bless people. So whom do you see as evil in our life? Whom do we see as evil in our life? The tongue. Do you see our neighbor as a brother as an evil? Then our light is not shining, brothers and sisters. We're not salty enough. Salt comes from the taste. Light comes from your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus said you must be salty like a salt. Why did he say taste? It's because of our tongue. Our words that comes from our tongue, our mouth, should be tasty. Where do you get that? How do you know it's salty or not salty? How do you know? Hello? I want to test every one of you. Do you touch and see? Oh, it's salty. Huh? By taste. The tongue. If you have no taste buds, problem. You ask the Lord to give you the taste. The tongue is the only one which you can sense. This is the only one. It's not the lips or whatever other things. But the tongue is the one which tastes and tells you what. The tongue is must be salty. Salted means must be tasteful. It says, he says the word of God. You can go back and check. And I don't want to go on too many. See, the word of God says that this, you are, your word must be tasty. And he says further. He says, if a food without salt is to be thrown into the where? On the floor? No. Garbage bin. Garbage bin is for what? Those throwing outside there and going very away. Nobody cast it out. So our word, which from our mouth, has got to be tasty in our life. One of the characteristics of our Christian life, of management of a Christian life, should be the tasty words. The word must be tasty. Then he says, you must shine like a light. How do you shine? A bulb has got to shine, right or not? Your bulb, you look at the bulb, it shines. It radiates electricity. So your body should shine. Your action should shine. Your things that you do in your should shine out. Hello? Do you get me? Shining does not come from your lips, from your tongue. It comes out from your body. The actions we do, the way that we behave. If you've got a husband who's a violent husband, and nowadays also some wives are violent, you know. I've mentored them, some of them. And it was a boxer, you know. Can you just imagine the poor husband? Okay. And he's a polished boxer. So can you just imagine the husband is not a polish. He's from another country. Just imagine how much of boxing he would have received. So, same. Sometimes we say, that's only very rare cases, okay? Most of the time is the man. That is a characteristic in man or something like that, which cannot hear certain words. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even a man says something, the woman gets angry, certain words. There are sensitive words. Yesterday when I was in a seminar with Cindy Jacobs and her husband, Mike Jacobs. They had this thing that is, they have, you know, sometimes he tries to correct her when she's on the stage. She's preaching and she says, no, the word is this, this is not a word. This. So he corrects her. He says, they have got this thing. They say, sarcastic, don't make sure you don't correct me in the public. So he says, whenever they say something sarcastic on each other, they'll say, meow. So the other person must understand that you've said something hurting me. It's called a meow language. So I thought it was interesting. How come I never thought of it before? If that is the case, every marriage should be well because of the meows. So if the husband says something, he says, say meow. And he says, oh, now I know. I heard her sometime. I'm sorry, darling. Right? The wife says something, just say meow. The male meow, meow. And then you see something will happen, and you know, surely there is understanding. You don't have to go and say words to say something. I learned yesterday, the preaching yesterday is not from me. I went home and slept last night because I went for a small therapy, and after that I went to sleep. And this morning when God gave me this message, the meow was the one which inspired me to give this message today. The meows they said was to caution the other person in lovingly, okay. You don't say meow. Say meow. Cautioning is meow means purring. In other words, telling the other person, you're hurting me. Right? Purring and telling, look, you're hurting me, darling. Not only in the family, but also among brothers and sisters outside here. Our characteristic has got to change as a family. And he said, went on and said, I have got my 39th year of marriage we are celebrating this year. It's powerful. Do you know how many marriages of pastors being attacked every day? You do not know. Anyone who walks righteous before God, the devil is not keeping quiet. That is why the strength of the family is very important. Marriage is very important. The meows are important. To tell each other lovingly and say, darling, I'm hurting me. The word is hurting me. And make sure that word that comes from our mouth, the lips and our tongue, which is tasty. There are ways of handling people. I'm not a good communicator. I myself am not a good communicator. I'm preaching this today. I'm preaching to myself too. I want you to know this. I'm not a perfect pastor, understand? I'm not a perfect person. I'm preaching to myself too. So every time that I do say something, I must know I'm saying the right things. The meows are important. It's hurting. We don't hurt each other. In the church also same way. Sometimes I would have said something. It might be hurting. You can tell me, meow. Pastor, I'm hurt by what you said. If it's something it is from the Lord, I do not have to say anything. But if it's from me, then definitely, of course, it's from the flesh, definitely, I will say, yes, I'm sorry. So, brothers and sisters, the salt is very important in our life. Before we go to radiate our body with the light, we must make sure the taste is right. From the tongue, what comes out is important. Because actually it radiates, it shows what is inside us. If it comes out, everything comes out here as nice, then it is all nice inside here. This is what will radiate outside. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is what will radiate outside. So you have to say the right things in life. When we handle with people, one another, how do we say things? I have to, as a father of the church, I have to correct people. But I say them in a way. I'll tell them, this is what's happening, this is what's happening. But the same with my son. I've learned how to go around my son now. It's not easy straight away to shoot him down. Because those guys are bigger than me now, no. I also must be careful. My eldest boy is like a wrestler, you know. Probably wrestle me often. So I must make sure I don't aggravate his flesh. The word of God says it very clearly. Do not anger. Fathers, do not anger your children. Because it's important for us to say. The words are important. Brothers and sisters, as he said now, the fire. From the word, it says, I can show you so many scriptures tell you. Even the psalmist says it very clearly. Let's look at Psalm 15. Let's look at Psalm 15. Let's come back here again. Keep that verse here, James, and we'll come back to James again afterwards. Okay? We'll go to Psalm 15. Job himself, you know, you see, I've got so much of things to talk about the tongue today, but I won't have the time. I can go on preaching about 5 hours about tongue from Job itself, you know, from Exodus itself. about a tongue. Tongue is very important, because otherwise it will not be mentioned so many times in the book of Gospel. Let's look at Psalm 15. Man, praise God. Lord, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holiness? Last Friday night when I came here, the Spirit of God was so mighty upon me, and we started praying. As we started praying the overnight prayer, the Lord asked me to turn to Psalm 91. And Psalm 91, first one says, he who dwells in the most secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Only unless you dwell in the secret place. Hello? Do you get what I'm saying? Unless you dwell in the secret place, only then you can get all the others. Hello? The first verse starts off with saying, those who dwell in the secret place. In order for you to stay in a place, I can say I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church at all. My life could be a horrible life. But I'm a Christian. Do I dwell in the Lord? Hello? Do I dwell in the Lord? I don't dwell in the Lord. So I must be a person who qualifies to be inside. Although I am Lord, I belong to the Lord, but I must dwell in the Lord to get all the, harness all the things. You see, for example, my son last night came, you know, this guy, he came around, sat down for a while and went through the, you know, don't know what he did. You got some cash with you. Hey, please don't show this to my son. You got some cash with you. What happened to your cash? This man is a little bit short. So unless he comes and dwells in my house now, although he's out there, he has to come to my house and dwell in my house for a while, hang around. Then only he asks. He knows the style, you know. He didn't come and say, Dad, you got money or not? You see the difference? I learned last night from my son also. Every time, last Friday, the Lord showed me, it's exactly the same. What's happening to my son? Right? He comes around and says, dwells around for a while. And then after that, he goes to the fridge, he takes whatever he wants, and then after he's done, okay, ready, and then after that, when I'm sitting counter, you're okay, your back is okay now. You want to massage you? Hey, don't touch me massaging all, no, okay? He's like a big size fella, you know, massage me, problem. After that, you know what, you got some cash, extra cash with you. So because you dwell around there, I dare not say anything, you know, I say, yes, what do you want? How much do you want? Right or not? So unless those who dwell among the people, upon the Father, then you'll be able to cream out something from Him. Right? If you go to a cow and you just say, give me milk, I cannot. You see the fellow kick you, no? So you must go around, temper around the fellow for a while. Have you milked or not, first of all? Have anyone here milked a cow? How many of you milked a cow? Anybody here? Honestly? I'm the only one? I should bring you to a farm, lah. Let's go to a farm. We'll make a trip to the farm. After church, one day we'll go a picnic. We'll get a few cows there and see how they can cling or not. Whether they'll give you a kick or not. And every time you touch the blood, they'll go this way. And go this way, you know. You come this side, they'll go this side. They won't allow you to sit down. So you must go and pamper the fellow nicely. Dwell around, you know. And relax the fellow. Hey, you know, I'm a friend of yours. No, I just want a little bit of your milk. Right? Then he'll give you a milk. Same way, so those who dwell in the Father's house, those who dwell in them, how do you dwell? So Psalm 15 will show you how you dwell in the house of the Lord. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hills? I don't want to go so many things, but I just want to go to one of the tongues there, that's all. But anyway, we have to go through everything. He who walks upright and works righteously and speaks the truth in his heart. Okay, I will preach about that later. He who does not backbite with his tongue. Again, tongue. Hello? Those who abide in the Lord, who stay with Him, must control their tongue. If you don't control your tongue, my tongue, if I don't control, then I don't dwell in the Lord. I'm not saying it. The Word of God is saying it. So your word, the tongue, must be right. So he says, those people who abide in the people, we can say, I'm righteous, okay, I'm walking, I'm perfect, everything. You know, the man in Matthew chapter 19, you can see that guy who came up and said, no, oh, Lord, good teacher, how do I go to heaven, no? He said, you must, the Lord, you know, Jesus Christ is very smart, you know. I tell you, you can never find another person like. He just recited the Ten Commandments. He recited. He didn't say, he just quoted the Ten Commandments. I've done all this thing right. I'm okay with it. I'm number one. I'm clean out of this. And the Lord says, just go and sell what you have and come and follow me. Give to the poor and come and follow me. He said, give to the poor and follow me. So his heart is not for the poor. His heart has got arrogance. Probably he's living out of the poor. Let's look at it very seriously. Probably the poor out there in this farm working out their lives for him. In their sweat he's living. His wealth is from them. Doesn't care for them. So his heart was not with God. Although you can be a clean person. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can say, I'm a clean person. I'm righteous. No, I'm righteous. I've not done this. I've not done that. I'm not right. But is your heart right? Number two, is your tongue right? What is in your heart is what will be reflected in your tongue. Hello? What is in your heart will come out in your heart. If you talk all the time evil things, then evil things will come out. All right? So we have to understand what is in, understand the basics of God. God is a very clear God, you know. Our God is a clear God. There's no other God who can tell you so detailed things like this in here. I can never find another thing, another book where you can find everything in detail. So detailed, precise to the dot, how we should live. So you can see the tongue again. Nor does evil his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend. If I can marry this, so many things I can marry to this together, you know. You go back and see Jabez's prayer. Lord, help me not to sin against my neighbor. Help me not to sin. Then he says, extend my territory. How can you get a territory if you are a sinful person? So unless you dwell in the Lord, unless you dwell inside him, and say, yes, Lord, humbly coming down. To dwell inside him, your pride should come down. Your righteousness should come down. Self-righteousness is a sin. Self-righteousness is a sin. I'm about to say this. You can find in the Bible. Self-righteousness, God doesn't like. That is why the self-righteous man who was rich, the Lord rebuked him. Sell everything and come. He's a self-righteous man. He thinks he's not done anything wrong. So many of us Christians are still walking like that, self-righteously. Remember this. I said this last week. Without the Lord inside me, it's not because of him, I am nothing in the world. My life has been that. And those church members here know me. I'm a broken man. I'm a wasted man. I'm just thrown out like that. It's he who picked me up. And I read another man, the one who anointed me as a prophet. I bought his book. I didn't know his story, you know, because he just came and thought he anointed me. He told the fellow, no, watch out for this man. That's all. He didn't tell me directly. He told the principal and all those people there, watch out for this man. That's all. And I read his book. I cried. His story was like this. He was a dropout from school. Worthless. He cannot study also. Right? But he cannot do anything much. He's a drunkard. He smokes chains of smokes. I don't know whether he took drugs. But he had all torn jeans go around. One day he went to the church there. He saw a huge crowd there. And when he stood there, he was a bit stinking because he's drunkard. Smoking, all the smoke smell. People all are clean people, no righteous people standing beside. Self-righteous people were all standing beside. So they didn't want to be nearer to him. They all gave some way. There was empty space all around him. So clear, open heaven. I look at it, no, it's open heaven for him. When people shun you down, my personal life, when people shun you down, God opens the heaven. It was open heaven for him. He stood there. He heard the word of God. End of the day, the woman called for an altar call. And he says, my testimony is I walked up to the altar call. As I walked up, people who gathered and nobody wanted to go up near him. Everybody gave way out. And that woman who came down, the preacher came down, a European preacher, American preacher, European preacher came down and hugged him and said, Lord loves you. What was the word? First word? Lord loves you. A broken man, instead of being told that he's a drunkard, he's smoking, he's thinking, what did she say? Lord loves you. Was it salted? The word was salted. And she hugged him. That changed his life. And today he's a prophet going around the world. He's a dropout from Bible school also, like me. Cannot study in the Bible school. And yet today he's wanted by the world. Why? It's the Lord who works inside him. If it's not for the Lord, we are nobody. If you remember this all the time, then we'll know how to humble ourselves. If it's not for the Lord, you'll not be who you are today and what you're doing today. It's because of Jesus Christ, the one who sacrificed his life. That's right. That's why dying to self means what? Dying to self is not just go and kill yourself. No, dying to the things that you do wrong. The word that comes out, gossips. Stop there. Don't go to the third one. Stop it there. The word of God says, don't gossip. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you were to continue, you are actually taking the fire from hell, putting it into your tongue and passing it around. Do you get me? The word of God says it very clearly. James said it's like a fire, like a forest. It can burn the forest. James 3 says it. It's like a fire in the tongue. And that fire which comes from hell is not from heaven, which could start burning because you got from here and you start gossiping everywhere. That's not right. Anyone who hinders from people from going to the Lord and disputes them is an enemy to the Lord. Go back and search that chapter. I want to give some homework for you all, scriptures. When John's people were baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ on the other side of Jordan, what did Jesus say this side? The apostle, hey, he's also baptizing in your name. Those who are for me, who are baptizing for me, why do you worry? Unless they dispute away from me, then you have to worry. Instead of gathering, we should not split. Hello? I cannot split my sons, you know. All three of them have got different mentality. It's okay. They know that very well. They'll quarrel. Some people will not talk to each other for a while. But I, as a father, has got to see how we can bring them together. Do you understand? If you are a father or a mother, you'll understand how you'll cry when your two children right in front of you argues and they don't talk to each other. It hurts a lot, you know. It hurts a lot. So it's important for us to understand that the tongue has got to be a tongue of remedification, restoration, not your word of judgment or purification. Hello? When you judge, you try to purify somebody else. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the tongue is very important. In my own family, I learned that. So I have to learn from my mistakes. So I tell my sons, sons, I've learned from my mistakes a lot of things. I don't want you to do the same thing as what I did before. I want you to change, go back differently. So your family will be well. You'll be well. You'll know how to treat your husband's wife, will know how to treat each other well. It's important for us to understand. It's practical. Our Bible is a practical Bible. There's not of a Bible which is this, not the word of God, which is more theological. It's just for brains or just for information. No, this is for action. Practical every day. Amen? Everything given here is practical every day. For a day to use. That's how our life should be. Salvation shall come. But salvation after salvation, what our life should be, is here. Don't say, by grace, I'm ready here, la. Never mind, la. I surely go to heaven, la. And we are supposed to be people who are supposed to radiate and be tasty to others. Where is that taste? Where is the radiation of our light and our actions? Praise you, Father. I just want to thank you, Father. And then he goes on, nor does he take up a reproach against his friends. You know, brothers and sisters, as a pastor, I find it difficult sometimes to still live as a pastor. There are many times I always wanted to say, God, I think I can do your work in the business world also. La. I'll go back and work somewhere. Even I drive taxi also, I can still speak to somebody. La. Do you know why? You see, you're looking at the action of the end. Sometimes you say, the decision I make is the end. But you must see what process has brought me to that end of that decision. You drive a person up so much that he has got to make a decision to go out somewhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? In your life, you have a decision you made. What made you make that decision in your life? I ask you a question. Don't look at the decision. What drove you to make the decision? There are many times I felt that I should not be a pastor. Why? The tongues are not so good. Do you understand what I'm saying? The tongues are not so good. I've had threatenings. I've had so many things in my life. In this past 8 years of being a pastor of this church. Which I think last time I did mention to you all. If I'm in a businessman last time, I was CEO of the company. I own my company. I'll tell this guy, and I was like, take your 1 month pay and get out of this place. I can't do that because it's a church. This is not my company. This is God's company. That's the problem. I have a big problem. So the decision, many of you will think, the pastor made decision is incorrect, you know. But you see, you only see the small portion of the small picture, but you don't see the big picture outside the other side. Do you know what I'm saying? If a person in your life, you make another brother say, you don't know, say, brother, John, he's angry. He doesn't want to see me. You must see, he doesn't want to see me. Why? Why do you want to see me? I must ask myself, no. See, today, before I say, oh, John doesn't want to worship today, no. But I must see why he has made the decision not to worship today. What did I say that has hurt him not to worship today? Do you follow what I'm saying, sister? Brothers? Do not look at the decision, but look at what process the person has got to go to make the decision. Because our tongue is easy to whack. Because a small tiny radar is so tiny that it can even catch a fire. It can start a fire in our forest. What drove the person up there? It's important. What drives a wife or a husband or a children in a family to go away? Or to do something, react towards something. Always there is a reaction to an action. Hello? Do you follow what I'm saying? There is always a reaction to an action. There's always reactions. So our Christian life, how do we react? So look at the decisions, he says it very clearly, he says it very clearly. So he nor does he take up a reproach against his friends. He didn't even say a brother. He said a friend, you know. And he said Christian life should also tolerate people outside of the church. Hello? A brother, a sister is actually the one who sits with us. Redeemed by the blood. Or your relation. But he said friends. Those who are not your relation, or not your brother, sister, or in blood of your parental blood, or not by the Christly blood, we still have to show that same thing to others. The friends. In those in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. I wish I can teach this whole day, you know. There's so many things I want to teach in this. The Lord is showing me so many things. But let's go back to one only. God is teaching us something today, brothers and sisters. Let's not read something and just go by that. Lord, what are you saying to me today? Is there something that I have to correct? It's not about I'm somebody else. If John doesn't want to worship there today, I'm angry with Pastor. Why did I do that? I made him angry to go and not to do it. I've said something to my sons, you know. I would have said something to my son. My son will just boycott me a few days. Have you had that problems in your life? I have that in my life. I have 3 sons, you know. The guy will not see me for 3 days. Then on Sunday he comes, he'll come. That day, remember or not what he said. So his decision, what I said, has drove him to what his decision was. Not to see me for 3 days. Hello? Brothers and sisters, I hope you are getting something this morning. Are we? I'm not scolding anyone here, you understand? I'm telling you, the living of life is important. Living of the more the way we get together, the more we understand each other. Sometimes we cannot understand every one of them. But the more insiders should understand us, that where am I going wrong? That's more important than looking at somebody else and saying there is something wrong. So my lips and my tongue, I must watch. That's mine. That belongs to me. I cannot detach this and put it on to somebody else. John. John, I'm sorry, I'm using you as an example today, okay? I cannot take John's tongue and put it in my tongue this year. My tongue is my tongue. It's already named. James belongs to James. So I cannot change. So we must see what we cannot change, we have to change in our life. We can only take control of our things that we own, but not others. You can control the microphone I'm holding, but I cannot control the microphone Brother Brian is holding at the back there. Do you know that he's got a microphone? You don't know, huh? Brother Brian, show them the microphone there. You can talk also from there. He also can talk from there, you know. So if he finds my microphone here, I'm speaking nonsense, he can say, Pastor, there's something wrong here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you'll shout, meow, meow. I hope nobody barks here, whoa, whoa. Alright? So it's got to be something is different in our life. We've got to change ourselves. We look at where we have caused problem to others, or caused problem in our relationship within husband and wife, children and parents, in the church, in our community, in the place that we work, in the place that we teach, the place that you go to school or university. Let's look at ourselves first. Are we speaking the things that God, are we doing the things that God has told us? I can give you so many verses of things. I wish you can have more time. Psalm 12:3. May the Lord cut off all the all the flattering of lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. And read more, verse 4, and you'll find more. 15:3 is about backbiting. Samuel 2, you see, 23:22 says that the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. So the Spirit of God, when it comes in Samuel, he says, comes and speaks blessings, not anything else. Spirit of God doesn't condemn, you know. He already edifies, but his edification is different. His edification, you want to say, you go back to the book of Acts. The word that spoke by Peter when he spoke up in chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down, the people were hit by the word, and the word refined them. The word of God refined them, not the word of man. It went like a double-edged sword and refined them. The Spirit of God was one refining them, not your word. If I've done counseling so many years now, doing counseling for marriages and people who come, if there is marriage success, it's not because of James. That is why I tell Brian, remove the names. It's not James. It's the Spirit of God, the word that's spoken to into a spirit man, which is cut through and you have been modified in your life. It is nothing got to do with James or any one of them. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's the Spirit of God, the word of God. You go back and check Acts. No, I can't follow because it's already almost 1 o'clock, brothers. Are you getting something today? Are you all happy that you came today? I wish I can speak. I've got so many so many verses I've got here, but I can't speak so much unless you understand the words. No, chapter 3, you'll find chapter 2 itself. Acts chapter 2. They were cut. The word of God cut. It's not Peter who cut them. The word of God. (Clears throat) He said, repent and be baptized. Chapter 2. Peter's sermon, at the end of the sermon, he said, repent and be baptized. And he said, Peter said, the men and brethren, now, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. What actually did he say? Did he say anything that which actually hit people? Look at the message that Peter preached on the day on chapter 2. And you'll find the message was the word of God, nothing else. Only the word of God cleanses, nobody else. It's not a person, individual, the word of God. Amen? That is why we come to church together for the word of God. Because sometimes we don't understand. When I sit at home, if the Holy Spirit is not driving me, even then I have to get somebody. I told yesterday to Brian as he was driving home. I said, you know, there are times that, you know, sometimes I receive a vision. I also don't know what this is all about. I have to wait upon the Lord. And suddenly God will bring one person in my life and they will speak something. It unlocks my vision God gave me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I cannot claim that thing, vision, oh, God gave me. No. Suddenly John Ming might come on the way. He might say something in the day, the morning, unlocks my vision. Oh yes, Lord, you said this to me. Now I see it's unlocked now. Do you follow what I'm saying? Our understanding is so small. My understanding is so small. Only the Spirit of God's understanding is so big that He can come and unlock in our life. If you think that James is big, or even John Ming, all our minds are big, it doesn't work. If only the Holy Spirit can do that. Amen? Praise God. I will stop here today, and I pray that one day I'll continue. It's about tongue itself. I can give you five. I've got only scriptures here, nothing else. The message is not the only scriptures, 5 pages. So I believe God is going to speak to us, all of us today, for the reason and the season now. That our action, not only from the day, the first two things, salt and the light. Let's look at both salt first. There are so many things to talk about salt first. Then only we talk about the light. Amen? Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, this morning. Father, I just pray that your coal, in Isaiah, you said, Lord, you brought the coal. When Isaiah said, my lips are sinful lips. Lord, we want to ask today, Lord, let's all rise up. Let's rise up. John, just play the music. Thank you, John. Let's rise to our feet. Lord, Isaiah cried out and said, look, my lips are so filthy. Lord, our tongues are so filthy, Lord. Where you know how to condemn. And your word says in chapter 5 of Matthew's, do not call your brother Raka, for you are sinning, and you cause murder. And your word is very clear, Lord, in chapter 5. I cannot call a brother of mine in this church or anywhere else, even my own children by blood, or even people of God, I cannot call them Raka. I cannot call them names. For God, you are a holy God. You created every one of us, Lord, in your image. I have to honor the image that's portrayed in every man and woman. Father, we ask for cleansing today. Cleansing our tongue and our lips today. The Lord, you will touch with your holy fire. The same coal that you used, Lord, to wash the lips of Isaiah. You'll wash our lips today, Lord, with the burning coal, Father God. So that our lips and tongue will be holy and speak the things to, Lord, to build people, not to destroy people, Father God. Father, we pray. The message we have heard today is just a little, but we pray that we understand more and do research more on the word of tongue. Help us to understand that our tongue is part of my body, which is also part of your body, Lord Jesus, the holy body. Help me to keep my tongue as holy as your body, Lord. Lord, we pray that your fire will come down and touch every one of them here. Touch every one of them here. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord. Touch. Touch, Spirit of fire. Holy fire. Holy fire. Touch my lips. Touch the lips. Touch our tongues. We repent, Lord, for hurting another brother or a sister in our life. We repent, Lord, for gossiping. We repent, Lord, for false accusations. We repent, Lord, in our righteousness, self-righteousness, we have condemned others. We repent, Lord, we called our spouse or even our children wrongly, Father. We repent, Lord, today. We come before you today and you ask for forgiveness. Let your cleansing blood touch every one of us today and relieve us. Help us, O Holy Spirit, from today onwards. We will know how to use our tongues properly, Lord. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.